Puzzle. Once I have all the pieces working, I'll recarve them in smaller, more delicate etchings. That will allow me to combine about a dozen test stamps into one final stamp.
But you said you tested over 100, Frava said, frowning. You'll only use 12 of those in the end?
Shay laughed. 12? To forge an entire soul? Hardly. The final stamp, the one you will need to use on the Emperor each morning, will be like a linchpin or the keystone of an arch. It will be the only one that will need to be placed on his skin, but it will connect a lattice of hundreds of other stamps. Shay reached to the side, taking out her book of notes, including initial sketches of the final stamps. I'll take these and stamp them onto a metal plate, then link that to the stamp you will place on Ashravan each day. He'll need to keep the plate close at all times.
He'll need to carry a metal plate with him? Frava said dryly. And he will need to be stamped each day? This will make it difficult for the man to live a normal life, don't you think?
Being emperor makes it difficult for any man to live a normal life, I suspect. You will make it work. It's customary for the plate to be designed as a piece of adornment, a large medallion, perhaps, or an upper arm bracer with square sides. If you look at my own essence marks, you'll notice they were done in the same way, and that the box contains a plate for each one. Shay hesitated. That said, I've never done this exact thing before. No one has. There is a chance, and I'd say a fair one, that over time the Emperor's brain will absorb the information. Like if you trace the exact same image on a stack of papers every day for a year. At the end, the layers below will contain the image as well. Perhaps after a few years of being stamped, he won't need the treatment any longer.
I still name it egregious.
Worse than being dead? Shay asked. Frava rested her hand on Shay's book of notes and half-finished sketches. Then she picked it up.
I will have our scribes copy this.
Shay stood up. I need it.
I'm sure you do, Frava said. That is precisely why it should be copied, just in case.
Copying it will take too long.
I will have it back to you in a day, Frava said lightly, stepping away.
Shay reached for her, and Captain Zhu stepped up, sword already half out of its sheath. Frava turned to him.
Now, Captain, that won't be needed. The forger is protective of her work. That is good. It shows that she is invested.
Shay and Zhu locked gazes. He wants me dead, Shay thought. Badly. She had figured him out by now. Guarding the palace was his duty, one that Shay had invaded by her theft. Zhu hadn't captured her. The imperial fool had turned her in. Zhu felt insecure because of his failure, and so he wanted to remove Shay in retribution. Shay eventually broke his gaze. Though it galled her, she needed to take the submissive side of this interaction. Be careful, she warned Frava. Do not let them lose even a single page.
I will protect this as if the Emperor's life depended on it.
Frava found her joke amusing, and she gave Shay a rare smile.
You have considered the other matter we discussed?
Yes.
And?
Yes. Frava's smile deepened.
We will talk again soon.
Frava left with the book, nearly 2 months' worth of work. Shay knew exactly what the woman was up to. Frava wasn't going to have it copied. She was going to show it to her other forger and see if it was far enough along for him to finish the job. If he determined that it was, Shay would be executed, quietly, before the other arbiters could object. Zhu would likely do it himself. It could all end here. Day 59. Shay slept poorly that night. She was certain that her preparations had been thorough, and yet now she had to wait as if with a noose around her neck. It made her anxious. What if she had misread the situation? She had made her notations in the book intentionally opaque, each of them a subtle indication of just how enormous this project was.
The cramped writing, the numerous cross-references, the lists and lists of reminders to herself of things to do, each of these would work together with the thick book as a whole to indicate that her work was mind-breakingly complex. It was a forgery, one of the most difficult types, a forgery that did not imitate a specific person or object. This was a forgery of tone. "Stay away," the tone of that book said. "You don't want to try to finish this. You want to let Shay continue to do the hard parts, because the work required to do it yourself would be enormous. And if you fail, it will be your head on the line." That book was one of the most subtle forgeries she had ever created. Each word in it was true, and yet a lie at the same time. Only a master forger might see through it, might notice how hard she was working to illustrate the danger and difficulty of the project. How skilled was Frava's forger? Would Shay be dead before morning? She didn't sleep. She wanted to, and she should have. Waiting out the hours, minutes, and seconds was excruciating. The thought of lying in bed asleep when they came for her, that was worse. Eventually, she got up and retrieved some accounts of Ashravan's life. The guards playing cards at her table gave her a glance. One even nodded with sympathy at her red eyes and tired posture.
"Light too bright?"
he asked, gesturing at the lamp. "No," Shay said. "Just a thought in my brain that won't get out." She spent the night in bed, pouring herself into Ashravan's life. Frustrated to be lacking her notes, she got out a fresh sheet and began some new ones she would add to her book when it returned, if it did. She felt that she finally understood why Ashravan had abandoned his youthful optimism. At least, she knew the factors that had combined to lead him down that path. Corruption was part of it, but not the main part. Again, lack of self-confidence contributed, but hadn't been the decisive factor. No, Ashravan's downfall had been life itself. Life in the palace. Life as part of an empire that clicked along like a clock. Everything worked. Oh, it didn't work as well as it might, but it did work. Challenging that took effort, and effort was sometimes hard to muster. He had lived a life of leisure. Ashravan hadn't been lazy, but it didn't require laziness to be swept up in the workings of imperial bureaucracy, to tell yourself that next month you'd go and demand that your changes be made. Over time, it had become easier and easier to float along the course of the great river that was the Rose Empire. In the end, he had grown indulgent. He had focused more on the beauty of his palace than on the lives of his subjects. He had allowed the arbiters to handle more and more government functions. Shay sighed. Even that description of him was too simplistic. It neglected to mention who the emperor had been and who he had become. A chronology of events didn't speak of his temper, his fondness for debate, his eye for beauty, or his habit of writing terrible, terrible poetry, and then expecting all who served him to tell him how wonderful it was. It also didn't speak of his arrogance, or his secret wish that he could have been something else. That was why he had gone back over his book again and again. Perhaps he had been looking for that branching point in his life where he had stepped down the wrong path. He hadn't understood. There was rarely an obvious branching point in a person's life. People changed slowly over time. You didn't take one step, then find yourself in a completely new location. You first took a little step off a path to avoid some rocks. For a while, you walked alongside the path. But then you wandered out a little way to step on softer soil. Then you stopped paying attention as you drifted farther and farther away. Finally, you found yourself in the wrong city, wondering why the signs on the roadway hadn't led you better. The door to her room opened. Shay bolted upright in her bed, nearly dropping her notes. They had come for her. But no, it was morning already. Light trickled through the stained glass window, and the guards were standing up and stretching. The one who had opened the door was the blood sealer. He looked hungover again and carried a stack of papers in his hand, as he often did. He's early this morning, Shay thought, checking her pocket watch. Why early today when he's late so often? The blood sealer cut her and stamped the door without a word, causing the pain to burn in Shay's arm. He hurried out of the room as if off to some appointment. Shay stared after him, then shook her head. A moment later, the door opened again, and Frava entered.
Oh, you're up,
the woman said as the strikers saluted her. Frava set Shay's book down on the table with a thump. She seemed annoyed.
The scribes are done. Get back to work.
Frava left in a bustle. Shay leaned back in her bed, sighing in relief. Her ruse had worked. That should earn her a few more weeks. Day 70.
So this symbol,
Gautana said, pointing at one of her sketches of the greater stamps she would soon carve,
is a time notation, indicating a moment specifically, 7 years ago?
Yes, Shay said, dusting off the end of a freshly carved soul stamp. You learn quickly.
I am undergoing surgery each day, so to speak,
Gautana said.
It makes me more comfortable to know the kinds of knives being used.
The changes
aren't permanent,
he said.
Yes, so you keep saying.
He stretched out his arm for her to stamp.
However, it makes me wonder. One can cut the body, and it will heal, but do it over and over again in the same spot, and you will scar. The soul cannot be so different.
Except, of course, that it's completely different, Shay said, stamping his arm. He had never quite forgiven her for what she had done in burning Shuzen's masterpiece. She could see it in him when they interacted. He was no longer just disappointed in her. He was angry at her. Anger faded with time, and they had a functional working relationship again. Gautana cocked his head.
Aye. Now that is odd.
Odd in what way? Shay asked, watching the seconds pass on her pocket watch.
I remember encouraging myself to become emperor. And I resent myself for... Mother of Light. Is that really how he regarded me?
The seal remained in place for 57 seconds. Good enough. Yes, she said, as the seal faded away. I believe that is exactly how he regarded you. She felt a thrill. Finally, that seal had worked. She was getting close now, close to understanding the Emperor, close to having the puzzle come together. Whenever she neared the end of a project, a painting, a large-scale soul forgery, a sculpture, there came a moment in the process where she could see the entire work, even if it was far from finished. When that moment came, in her mind's eye, the work was complete. Actually finishing it was almost a formality. She was nearly there with this project. The Emperor's soul spread out before her, with only some few corners still shadowed. She wanted to see it through. She longed to find out if she could make him live again. After reading so much about him, after coming to feel as if she knew him so well, she needed to finish. Surely her escape could wait until then.
That was it, wasn't it?
Gautana asked.
That was the stamp that you've tried a dozen times without success. The seal representing why he stood up to become emperor.
Yes, Shay said.
His relationship with me,
Gautana said.
You made his decision depend upon his relationship with me. And the sense of shame he felt when speaking with me.
Yes.
And it took?
Yes. Gautana sat back.
Other of lights,
he whispered again. Shay took the seal and put it with those that she had confirmed as workable. Over the last few weeks, each of the other arbiters had done as Frava had, coming to Shay and offering her fantastic promises in exchange for giving them ultimate control of the Emperor. Only Gautana had never tried to bribe her. A genuine man, and one in the highest levels of imperial government, no less. Remarkable. Using him was going to be far more difficult than she would have liked. "I must say again," she said, turning to him. "You've impressed me. I don't think many grands would take the time to study soul stamps. They would eschew what they considered evil without ever trying to understand it. You've changed your mind?"
"No," Gautana said. "I still think that what you do is, if not evil, then certainly unholy. And yet, who am I to speak? I am depending upon you to preserve us in power by means of this art we so freely call an abomination. Our hunger for power outweighs our conscience."
"True for the others," Shay said. "But that's not your personal motive." He raised an eyebrow at her. "You just want Ashravan back," Shay said. "You refuse to accept that you've lost him. You loved him as a son, the youth that you mentored, the emperor you always believed in, even when he didn't believe in himself." Gautana looked away, looking decidedly uncomfortable. "It won't be him," Shay said. "Even if I succeed, it won't truly be him. You realize this, of course." He nodded. "But then sometimes a clever forgery is as good as the real thing," Shay said. "You are of the heritage faction. You surround yourself with relics that aren't truly relics, paintings that are imitations of ones long lost. I suppose having a fake relic for an emperor won't be so different. And you just want to know that you've done everything you could for him."
"How do you do it?" Gautana asked softly. "I've seen how you speak with the guards. How you learn even the names of the servants. You seem to know their family lives, their passions, what they do in the evenings. And yet you spend each day locked in this room. You haven't left it for months. How do you know these things?"
"People," Shay said, rising to fetch another seal, "by nature, attempt to exercise power over what is around them. We build walls to shelter us from the wind, roofs to stop the rain. We tame the elements, bend nature to our wills. It makes us feel as if we're in control. Except in doing so, we merely replace one influence with another. Instead of the wind affecting us, it is a wall, a man-made wall. The fingers of man's influence are all about touching everything. Man-made rugs, man-made food. Every single thing in the city that we touch, see, feel, experience comes as the result of some person's influence. We may feel in control, but we never truly are unless we understand people. Controlling our environment is no longer about blocking the wind. It's about knowing why the serving lady was crying last night, or why a particular guard always loses at cards, or why your employer hired you in the first place." Gautana looked back at her as she sat, then held out a seal to him. He hesitantly proffered an arm.
"It occurs to me," he said, "that even in our extreme care not to do so, we have underestimated you, woman."
"Good," she said. "You're paying attention." She stamped him. "Now tell me, why exactly do you hate fish?" Day 76. "I need to do it," Shay thought, as the blood sealer cut her arm. "Today. I could go today." Hidden in her other sleeve, She carried a slip of paper made to imitate the ones that the blood sealer often brought with him on the mornings that he came early. She had caught sight of a bit of wax on one of them 2 days back. They were letters. Realization had dawned. She had been wrong about this man all along. "Good news?" she asked him as he inked his stamp with her blood. The white-lipped man gave her a sneering glance. "From home," Shay said. "The woman you're writing, back in Zamar. She sent you a letter today? Post comes in the mornings here at the palace. They knock at your door, deliver a letter." "And that wakes you up," she added in her mind. "That's why you come on time those days. You must miss her a lot if you can't bear to leave her letter behind in your room." The man lowered his arm and grabbed Shay by the front of her shirt.
"Leave her alone, witch," he hissed. You leave her alone. None of your trickery or magics."
He was younger than she had assumed. That was a common mistake with Zamarians. Their white hair and skin made them seem ageless to outsiders. Shay should have known better. He was little more than a youth. She drew her lips to a line. "You talk about my trickery and magics while holding in your hands a seal inked with my blood? You're the one threatening to send skeletals to hunt me, friend. All I can do is polish the odd table."
Ah!
The young man threw his hands up, then stamped the door. The guards watched with nonchalant amusement and disapproval. Shay's words had been a calculated reminder that she was harmless, while the blood sealer was the truly unnatural one. The guards had spent nearly 3 months watching her tinker about as a friendly scholar, while this man drew her blood and used it for arcane horrors. "I need to drop the paper," she thought to herself, lowering her sleeve, meaning to let her forgery slip out as the guards turned away. That would put her plan into motion, her escape. "The real forgery isn't finished yet. The Emperor's soul," Shay thought. She hesitated. Foolishly, she hesitated. The door closed. The opportunity passed. Feeling numb, Shay walked to her bed and sat down on its edge, the forged letter still hidden in her sleeve. Why had she hesitated? Were her instincts for self-preservation so weak? "I can wait a little longer," she told herself, "until Ashravan's essence mark is done." She had been saying that for days now, weeks really. Each day she got closer to the deadline was another chance for Frava to strike. The woman came back with other excuses to take Shay's notes and have them inspected. They were quickly approaching the point where the other forger wouldn't have to sort through much in order to finish Shay's work. At least, so he would think. The further she progressed, the more impossible she realized this project was, and the more she longed to make it work anyway. She got out her book on the Emperor's life, and soon found herself looking back through his youthful years. The thought of him not living again, of all of her work being merely a sham intended to distract while she planned to escape, those thoughts were physically painful. "Nights," Shay thought at herself. "You've grown fond of him. You're starting to see him like Gautana does." She shouldn't feel that way. She had never met him. Besides, he was a despicable person. But he hadn't always been. No, in truth, he hadn't ever truly become despicable. He had been more complex than that. Every person was. She could understand him. She could see. "Nights," she said, standing up and putting the book aside. She needed to clear her mind. When Gautana came to the room 6 hours later, Shay was just pressing a seal against the far wall. The elderly man opened the door and stepped in, then froze as the wall flooded with color. Vine patterns spiraled out from Shay's stamp like sprays of paint, green, scarlet, amber. The painting grew like something alive,
Leaves springing from branches, bunches of fruit exploding in succulent bursts. Thicker and thicker the pattern grew, golden trim breaking out of nothing and running like streams, rimming leaves, reflecting light. The mural deepened, every inch imbued with an illusion of movement. Curling vines, unexpected thorns peeking from behind branches. Gautana breathed out in awe and stepped up beside Shay. Behind, Zhu stepped in and the other two guards left and closed the door. Gautana reached out and felt the wall, but of course the paint was dry. So far as the wall knew, it had been painted like this years ago. Gautana knelt down, looking at the two seals Shay put at the base of the painting. Only the third one, stamped above, had set off the transformation. The early seals were notes on how the image was to be created. Guidelines, a revision of history, instructions.
How?
Gautana asked. One of the strikers guarded Atsuko of Jindo during his visit to the Rose Palace, Shay said. Atsuko caught a sickness and was stuck in his bedroom for 3 weeks. That was just one floor up.
Your forgery puts him in this room instead?
Yes. That was before the water damage that seeped through the ceiling last year, so it's plausible he'd have been placed here. The wall remembers Atsuko spending days too weak to leave, but having the strength for painting. A little each day, a growing pattern of vines, leaves, and berries to pass the time.
This shouldn't be taking, Gautana said. This forgery is tenuous. You've changed too much.
No, Shay said. It's on the line. That line where the greatest beauty is found. She put the seal away. She barely remembered the last 6 hours. She had been caught up in the frenzy of creation.
Still, Gautana said.
It will take, Shay said. If you were the wall, what would you rather be? Dreary and dull, or alive with paint?
Walls can't think.
That doesn't stop them from caring. Gautana shook his head, muttering about superstition.
How long?
To create this soul stamp? I've been etching it here and there for the last month or so. It was the last thing I wanted to do for the room.
The artist was Jindoese, he said. Perhaps because you are from the same people, it... But no, that's thinking like your superstition.
Gautana shook his head, trying to figure out why that painting would have taken. Though it had always been obvious to Shay that this one would work. The Jindoese and my people are not the same, by the way, Shay said testily. We may have been related long ago, but we are completely different from them now. Grans. Just because people had similar features, Grans assumed they were practically identical. Gautana looked across her chamber and its fine furniture that had been carved and polished. Its marble floor with silver inlay, the crackling hearth and small chandelier. A fine rug, it had once been a bedquilt with holes in it, covered the floor. The stained glass window sparkled on the right wall, lighting the beautiful mural. The only thing that retained its original form was the door, thick but unremarkable. She couldn't forge that, not with a blood seal set into it.
You realize that you now have the finest chamber in the palace, Gautana said.
I doubt that, Shay said with a sniff. Surely the emperors are the nicest.
The largest, yes, not the nicest.
He knelt beside the painting, looking at her seals at the bottom.
You included detailed explanations of how this was painted.
To create a realistic forgery, Shay said, you must have the technical skill you are imitating, at least to an extent.
So you could have painted this wall yourself?
I don't have the paints.
But you could have. You could have demanded paints. I'd have given them to you.
Instead, you created a forgery.
It's what I am, Shay said, growing annoyed at him again.
It's what you choose to be. If a wall can desire to be a mural, Wan Shelu, then you could desire to become a great painter.
She slapped her stamp down on the table, then took a few deep breaths.
You have a temper,
Gautana said.
Like him. Actually, I know exactly how that feels now, because you have given it to me on several occasions. I wonder if this thing you do could be a tool for helping to bring awareness to people. Inscribe your emotions onto a stamp, then let others feel what it is to be you.
Sounds great, Shay said. If only forging souls weren't a horrible offense to nature.
If only.
If you can read those stamps, you've grown very good indeed, Shay said, pointedly changing the topic. Almost, I think you've been cheating.
Actually.
Shay perked up, banishing her anger now that it had passed the initial flare-up. What was this? Gautana sheepishly reached into the deep pocket of his robe and withdrew a wooden box, the one where she kept her treasures, the 5 essence marks. Those revisions of her soul could change her, in times of need, into someone she could have been. Shay took a step forward, but when Gautana opened the box, he revealed that the stamps weren't inside.
I'm sorry, he said. But I think giving you these now would be a little foolish on my part. It seems that any one of them could have you free from your captivity in a moment.
Really, only 2 of them could manage that, Shay said sourly, fingers twitching. Those soul stamps represented over 8 years of her life's work. She had started the first on the day she ended her apprenticeship.
Yes.
Gautana said. Inside the small box lay sheets of metal inscribed with the separate smaller stamps that made up the blueprints of the revisions to her soul.
This one, I believe.
He held up one of the sheets.
Shazan. Translated, Shay of the Fist. This would make a warrior out of you if you stamped yourself?
Yes, Shay said. So he'd been studying her essence marks. That was how he'd grown so good at reading her stamps.
I understand only 1/10 of what is inscribed here, if that, Gautana said. What I find is impressive. Truly, these must have taken years to craft.
They are precious to me, Shay said, forcing herself to sit down at her desk and not fixate on the plates. If she could escape with those, she could craft a new stamp with ease. It would still take weeks, but most of her work would not be lost. But if those plates were to be destroyed... Gautana sat down in his customary chair, nonchalantly looking through the plates. From someone else, she would have felt an implied threat. Look what I hold in my hands. Look what I could do to you. From Gautana, however... That was not it. He was genuinely curious. Or was he? As ever, she could not suppress her instincts. As good as she was, someone else could be better. Just as Uncle Juan had warned, could Gautana have been playing her for a fool all along? She felt strongly she should trust her assessment of Gautana. But if she was wrong, it could be a disaster. It might be anyway. She thought. You should have run days ago.
Turning yourself into a soldier, I understand, Gautana said, setting aside the plate. And this one as well. A woodsman and survivalist. That one looks extremely versatile. Impressive. And here we have a scholar. But why? You are already a scholar.
No woman can know everything. Shay said. There is only so much time for study. When I stamp myself with that essence mark, I can suddenly speak a dozen languages, from Fen to Muladil, even a few from Sikla. I know dozens of different cultures and how to move in them. I know science, mathematics, and the major political factions of the world.
Ah,
Gautana said. Just give them to me, she thought.
But what of this?
Gautana said.
A beggar? Why would you want to be emaciated? And is this showing that most of your hair would fall out? That your skin would become scarred?
It changes my appearance, Shay said. Drastically. That's useful. She didn't mention that in that aspect, she knew the ways of the streets and survival in a city underworld. Her lock-picking skills weren't too shabby when not bearing that seal, but with it, she was incomparable. With that stamp on her, she could probably manage to climb out the tiny window. That mark rewrote her past to give her years of experience as a contortionist, and climb the 5 stories down to freedom.
I should have realized,
Gautana said. He lifted the final plate.
That just leaves this one, most baffling of all.
Shay said nothing.
Cooking,
he said.
Farm work, sewing. Another alias, I assume, for imitating a simpler person.
Yes. Gautana nodded, putting the sheet down. Honesty. He must see my honesty. It cannot be faked, she thought. No, Shay said, sighing. He looked to her. It's my way out, she said. I'll never use it. It's just there if I want to.
Way out?
If I ever use that, Shay said, it will write over my years as a forger. Everything. I will forget how to make the simplest of stamps. I will forget that I was even apprenticed as a forger. I will become something normal.
And you want that?
No. A pause. Yes. Maybe. A part of me does. Honesty. It was so difficult. Sometimes, it was the only way. She dreamed about that simple life on occasion, in that morbid way that someone standing at the edge of a cliff wonders what it would be like to just jump off. The temptation is there, even if it's ridiculous. A normal life? No hiding, no lying. She loved what she did. She loved the thrill, the accomplishment, the wonder, but sometimes, trapped in a prison cell or running for her life, sometimes she dreamed of something else.
Your aunt and uncle?
He asked.
Uncle Juan, Aunt Sol, they are parts of this revision. I've read it in here.
They're fake, Shay whispered.
But you quote them all the time.
She squeezed her eyes shut.
I suspect,
Gautana said,
that a life full of lying makes reality and falsehood intermix. But if you were to use this stamp, surely you would not forget everything. How would you keep the sham from yourself?
It would be the greatest forgery of all, Shay said. One intended to fool even me. Written into that is the belief that without that stamp applied every morning, I'll die. It includes a history of illness, of visiting a resealer, as you call them, a healer that works in soul stamps. From them, my false self received a remedy, one I must apply each morning. Aunt Sol and Uncle Juan would send me letters. That is part of the charade to fool myself. I've written them already, hundreds, which, before I use the essence mark on myself, I will pay a delivery service good money to send periodically.
But what if you try to visit them?
Gautana said.
To investigate your childhood.
It's all in the plate. I will be afraid of travel, There's truth to that, as I was indeed scared of leaving my village as a youth. Once that mark is in place, I'll stay away from cities. I'll think the trip to visit my relatives is too dangerous. But it doesn't matter. I'll never use it. That stamp would end her. She would forget the last 20 years, back to when she was 8 and had first begun inquiring about becoming a forger. She would become someone else entirely. None of the other essence marks did that. They rewrote some of her past, but left her with a knowledge of who she truly was. Not so with the last one. That one was to be final. It terrified her.
This is a great deal of work for something you'll never use,
Gautana said. Sometimes that is the way of life. Gautana shook his head. I was hired to destroy the painting, Shay blurted out. She wasn't quite certain what drove her to say it. She needed to be honest with Gautana. That was the only way her plan would work. But he didn't need this piece, did he? Gautana looked up. Shuzhen hired me to destroy Frava's painting, Shay said. That's why I burned the masterpiece rather than sneaking it out of the gallery.
Shuzhen? But he's the original artist. Why would he hire you to destroy one of his works?
Because he hates the Empire, Shay said. He painted that piece for a woman he loved. Her children gave it to the Empire as a gift. Shuzhen is old now, blind, barely able to move. He didn't want to go to his grave knowing that one of his works was serving to glorify the Rose Empire. He begged me to burn it. Gautana seemed dumbfounded. He looked at her as if trying to pierce through her soul. Shay didn't know why he needed to bother. This conversation had already stripped her thoroughly bare. A master of his caliber is hard to imitate, Shay said. Particularly without the original to work from. If you think about it, you'll realize I needed his help to create those fakes. He gave me access to his studies and concepts. He told me how he'd gone about painting it. He coached me through the brushstrokes.
Why not just have you return the original to him?
Gautana asked. He's dying, Shay said. Owning a thing is meaningless to him. That painting was done for a lover. She is gone now, so he felt the painting should be as well.
A priceless treasure, Gautana said. Gone because of foolish pride.
It was his work.
Not any longer, Gautana said. It belonged to everyone who saw it. You should not have agreed to this. Destroying a work of art like that is never right.
He hesitated.
But still, I think I can understand. What you did had a nobility to it. Your goal was the Moon Scepter. Exposing yourself to destroy that painting was dangerous.
Shuzhen tutored me in painting as a youth, she said. I couldn't deny his request. Gautana didn't seem to agree, but he did seem to understand. Nights, but Shay felt exposed. This is important to do, she told herself. And maybe... But he didn't give her the plates back. She hadn't expected him to, not now. Not until their agreement was done. An agreement she was certain she would not live to see the end of, unless she escaped. They worked through the last group of new stamps. Each one took for at least a minute, as she had been almost certain they would. She had the vision now, the idea of the final soul as it would be. Once she finished the 6th stamp for the day, Gautana waited for the next. That's it, Shay said.
All for today?
All forever, Shay said, tucking away the last of the stamps.
You're done?
Gautana asked, sitting up straight.
almost a month early. It's...
I'm not done, Shay said. Now is the most difficult part. I have to carve those several hundred stamps in tiny detail, melding them together, then create a linchpin stamp. What I've done so far is like getting all the paints ready, creating the color and figure studies. Now I have to put it all together. The last time I did this, it took the better part of 5 months.
And you have only 24 days.
And I have only 24 days, Shay said, but felt an immediate stab of guilt. She had to run. Soon. She couldn't wait to finish the project.
Then I will leave you to it,
Gautana said, standing and rolling down his sleeve. Day 85. Yes, Shay thought, scrambling along the side of her bed and rifling through the stack of papers there. The table wasn't big enough. She had pulled her sheets tight and turned the bed into a place to set all of her stacks. Yes, his first love was from the storybook. That was why... Hershina's red hair. But this would be subconscious. He wouldn't know it. Embedded deeply, then. How had she missed that? She wasn't nearly as close to being done as she'd thought. There wasn't time. Shay added what she discovered to the seal she was working on, one that combined all of the various parts of Ashravan's romantic inclinations and experiences. She included it all, the embarrassing, the shameful, the glorious. Everything she'd been able to discover, and then a little bit more, calculated risks to fill out the soul. A flirtatious encounter with a woman whose name Ashravan could not recall. Idle fancies. A near affair with a woman now dead. This was the most difficult part of the soul for Shay to imitate, for it was the most private. Little an emperor did was ever truly secret, but Ashravan had not always been emperor. She had to extrapolate, lest she leave the soul bare without passion. So private, so powerful. She felt closest to Ashravan as she teased out these details. Not as a voyeur. By this point, she was a part of him. She kept two books now. The formal notes of her process said she was horribly behind. That book left out details. The other book was her true one, disguised as useless piles of notes, random and haphazard. She really was behind, but not so far as her official documentation showed. Hopefully, that subterfuge would earn her a few extra days before Frava struck. As Shay searched for a specific note, she ran across one of her lists for escape plans. She hesitated. First, deal with the seal on the door, the note read in cipher. Second, silence the guards. Third, recover your essence marks, if possible. Fourth, escape the palace. Fifth, escape the city. She had written further notes for the execution of each step. She wasn't ignoring the escape, not completely. She had good plans. Her frantic attempt to finish the soul, however, drew most of her attention. One more week, she told herself. If I take one more week, I will finish 5 days before the deadline. Then I can run. Day 97.
Hey,
Hurley said, bending down.
What's this?
Hurley was a brawny striker who acted dumber than he was. It let him win at cards. He had two children, girls, both under the age of 5, but was seeing one of the women guards on the side. Hurley secretly wished he could have been a carpenter like his father. He also would have been horrified if he'd realized how much Shay knew about him. He held up the sheet of paper he had found on the ground. The blood sealer had just left. It was the morning of the 96th day of Shay's captivity in the room, and she had decided to put the plan into motion.
She had to get out. The Emperor's seal was not yet finished. Almost. One more night's work, and she would have it. Her plan required one more night of waiting anyway.
Weedfingers must have dropped it,
Yul said, walking over. She was the other guard in the room this morning. What is it? Shay asked from the desk.
Letter,
Hurley said with a grunt. Both guards fell silent as they read. Palace strikers were all literate. It was required of any imperial civil servant of at least the second reed. Shay sat quietly, tense, sipping a cup of lemon tea and forcing herself to breathe calmly. She made herself relax, even though relaxing was the last thing she wanted to do. Shay knew the letter's contents by heart. She had written it, after all, then had dropped it covertly behind the blood sealer as he'd rushed out moments ago. Brother, the letter read, I've almost completed my task here, and the wealth I have earned will rival even that of Azalek after his work in the southern provinces. The captive I secure is hardly worth the effort, but who am I to question the reasoning of people paying me far too much money? I will return to you shortly. I am proud to say that my other mission here has been a success. I have identified several capable warriors and have gathered sufficient samples from them, hair, fingernails, and a few personal effects that will not be missed. I feel confident that we will have our personal guards very soon. It went on, the writing covering both the front and the back, so that it didn't look suspicious. Shay had padded it with a lot of talk about the palace, including things that others would assume that Shay didn't know, but that the blood sealer would. Shay worried that the letter was too overt. Would the guards find it to be an obvious forgery? That Kunukam, Yil whispered, using a native word of theirs. It roughly translated as a man who had an anus for a mouth. That imperial Kunukam! Apparently, they believed it really was from him. Subtlety could be lost on soldiers. Can I see it? Shay asked. Hurley held it out to her.
Is he saying what I think? The guard asked. He's been gathering things from us?
It might not mean the strikers, Shay said after reading the letter. He doesn't say.
Why would he want hair? Yul asked. And fingernails.
They can do things with pieces of you, Hurley said, then cursed again. You see what he does each day on the door with Shay's blood?
I don't know if he could do much with hair or fingernails, Shay said skeptically. This is just bravado. Blood needs to be fresh, not more than a day old, for it to work in his stamps. He's bragging to his brother.
He shouldn't be doing things like that, Hurley said.
I wouldn't worry about it, Shay said. The other two shared looks. In a few minutes, the guard change occurred. Hurley and Yil left, muttering to one another, the letter shoved in Hurley's pocket. They weren't likely to hurt the blood sealer badly. Threaten him, yes. The blood sealer was known to frequent tea houses in the area each evening. Almost, she felt sorry for the man. She had deduced that when he got news from home, he was quick and punctual to her door. He sometimes looked excited. When he didn't get news, he drank. This morning, he had looked sad. No news in a while, then. What happened to him tonight would not make his day any better. Yes, Shay almost felt sorry for him, but then she remembered the seal on the door and the bandage she'd tied on her arm after he'd drawn blood today. As soon as the guard change was accomplished, Shay took a deep breath, then dug back into her work. Tonight. Tonight, she would finish. Day 98. Shay knelt on the floor amid a pattern of scattered pages, each filled with cramped script or drawings of seals. Behind her, morning opened her eyes, and sunlight seeped through the stained glass window, spraying the room with crimson, blue, violet. A single soul stamp, carved from polished stone, rested face down on a metal plate sitting before her. Soul stone, as a rock, looked not unlike soapstone or another fine-grained stone, but with bits of red mixed in, as if drops of blood had stained it. Shay blinked tired eyes. Was she really going to try to escape? She'd had, what, 4 hours of sleep in the last 3 days combined? Surely escape could wait. Surely she could rest just for today. Rest, she thought numbly, and I will not wake. She remained in place, kneeling. That stamp seemed the most beautiful thing she had ever seen. Her ancestors had worshipped rocks that fell from the sky at night. The souls of broken gods, those chunks had been called. Master craftsmen would carve them to bring out the shape. Once, Shay had found that foolish. Why worship something you yourself created? Kneeling before her masterpiece, she understood. She felt as if she'd bled everything into that stamp. She had pressed 2 years' worth of effort into 3 months, then had topped it off with a night of desperate, frantic carving. During that night, she'd made changes to her notes, to the soul itself, drastic changes. She still didn't know if they had been provoked by her final, awesome vision of the project as a whole, or if those changes had instead been faulty ideas born of fatigue and delusion. She wouldn't know until the stamp was used.
Is it done?
Asked one of her guards. The two of them had moved to the far edge of the room to sit beside the hearth and give her room on the floor. She vaguely remembered shoving aside the furniture. She had spent part of the time pulling stacks of paper out from their place beneath the bed, then crawling under to fetch others. Was it done? Shay nodded.
What is it?
The guard asked. Knights, she thought. That's right. They don't even know. The common guards left each day during her conversations with Gautana. The poor strikers would probably find themselves assigned to some remote outpost of the Empire for the rest of their lives, guarding the passes leading down to the distant Teoish Peninsula or the like. They would be quietly brushed under the rug to keep them from revealing, even accidentally, anything of what had happened here. "Ask Gautana if you want to know," Shay said softly. "I'm not allowed to say." Shay reverently picked up the seal, then placed both it and its plate inside a box she had prepared. The stamp nestled in red velvet, the plate, shaped like a large, thin medallion, in an indentation underneath the lid. She closed the lid, then pulled over a second, slightly larger box. Inside lay 5 seals, carved and prepared for her upcoming escape, if she managed it. 2 of them she'd already used. If she could just sleep for a few hours, just a few. No, I can't use the bed anyway, she thought. Curling up on the floor sounded wonderful, however. The door began to open. Shay felt a sudden striking moment of panic. Was it the blood sealer? He was supposed to be stuck in bed, having drunk himself to a stupor after being roughed up by the strikers. For a moment, she felt a strange, guilty sense of relief. If the blood sealer had come, she wouldn't have a chance to escape today. She could sleep. Had Hurley and Yill not thrashed him? Shay had been sure that she'd read them correctly, and in her fatigue, she realized she'd been jumping to conclusions. The door opened all the way, and someone did enter, but it was not the blood sealer. It was Captain Zhu.
Out!
He barked at the 2 guards. They jumped into motion.
In fact, Zhu said, you're relieved for the day. I'll watch until the shift changes.
The 2 saluted and left. Shay felt like a wounded elk being abandoned by the herd. The door clicked closed, and Zhu slowly, deliberately turned to look at her.
The stamp isn't ready yet, Shay lied.
It doesn't need to be ready,
Zhu said, smiling a wide, thick-lipped smile. I believe I promised you something 3 months ago, thief. We have an unsettled debt. The room was dim, her lamp having burned low and